If you would like, you can turn to Proverbs 31. We're looking at 10 through 31 this morning, as well as a number of other people and places in the Bible. An excellent wife, Solomon writes, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm and delight and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. At the beginning of the chapter, it says the oracle of Lemuel. I've always thought this must be a compilation of many different women. How could one person meet all of these standards? Or could it have been the desire of a hopeful mother for a future daughter-in-law? She would have, according to this, she would have to be family-centered, successful in business, a great cook, a volunteer and supporter of the rescue mission, creative, an example, praiseworthy, wise, and beautiful. If you don't quite measure up, take heart, because we're going to look at some other examples in the Bible. The first example, Eve. Eve was the mother, the first mother of us all. She was the mother, direct mother, of Cain, Abel, and Seth. Just think about what it must have been like for Eve. There was no one to talk to about the everyday events that happen in the life of a child. We were fortunate when our children were little to have a next-door neighbor who was in the medical field. She was a respiratory therapist, although we called her Dr. Di. I can remember one time Melissa took a head dive into the bedboard of her bed, and instantly there was an egg about the size of an egg on her forehead. Mona and I both panicked, ran over to see Dr. Di to see what could be done for our poor child who was obviously dying. Diane calmed our fears and assured us that Melissa would live, and she did. Eve had no one to go to, no one to ask, no grandmother of the children. She was the first. And she, as one of the mothers, made the greatest blunder of all. She was partially responsible for bringing sin into this world. She and Adam had only one rule to obey, only one, and they blew it. They chose to disobey God, and everyone today continues to be affected by that one decision. And not only that, but the multiplication of laws and rules that people have to live by. In the first five books of the Bible, someone counted 613 laws that back then they had to live by. And today, more are being passed every week by our Congress. Eve was the first mother who had to bury her child. Eve was the first mother to see one of her children go into exile because of sin, because of murder. Sarah was the wife of Abraham, the mother of Isaac. If you as a mother feel like everything depends on you, you might be like Sarah. Sarah had heard the promise of God to her husband Abraham. At one point, she even laughed at the promise, which of course she later denied. But God had a plan for her. She would be the mother of Isaac. But it couldn't happen in a natural way. It had to be supernatural, because Isaac was going to be a special person. Something that could never happen in the flesh, but only by the fulfillment of the promise of God and by God. But Sarah, thinking that it was all on her shoulders, told Abraham to marry her servant from Egypt. Men, sometimes you shouldn't do what your wife tells you to do. He went ahead and married the girl, and they had a child who would become the ancestor of Islam. The struggle between the son of the flesh and the son of faith continues today. We can all learn from Sarah to trust in the promise and provision of God, and not to seek to manipulate the situation in our own quote-unquote good judgment. Sometimes it's difficult to see through the eyes of faith. We need to spend time in the Word of God. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and we need to be encouraged by the people of God. And then there was Rebekah. Rebekah was the mother of Esau and Jacob. If there was ever an example of playing favorites in the Bible, it would be Rebekah and her husband Isaac. Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. There was a movie called The Parent Trap. Most of us have probably seen either one or the other version, perhaps both, where a couple had twins and then divorced, each one taking one child. The children grew up separated and not knowing about the other one. And in the course of the movie, the twins discover each other, swap places, and then eventually reunite their mom and their dad. It's an interesting movie. It's a cute movie. It's kind of like a Hallmark movie. But I really like it, because it makes you feel good at the end. The family is restored. In the case of Isaac and Rebekah, it might have been a good idea. Rebekah helped Jacob deceive Isaac so that he would receive the blessing and the inheritance that really belonged to his brother Esau. It should be noted that God had chosen Jacob in the first place, whose name was later changed to Israel, and he would become the father of the nation of Israel. That was God's plan. That was God's purpose. But again, Rebekah thought she had to make it happen. The message here, don't play favorites. Love your children equally. It continues to break the hearts of children who are neglected in this way. In the end of the story, Rebekah had to send her favorite son away. And she never saw him again in this life. Rebekah died before Jacob returned. Another sad ending to the story. Bathsheba, another mother that we don't know too much about, but she was one of the wives of King David in the Old Testament. She was the mother of King Solomon. But she had been married to one of King David's mighty men. There were 30 of them. Uriah the Hittite was one of them. And he was married to Bathsheba. Well, she had an affair with King David while her husband was out fighting for his country. When she found out she was pregnant, they came up with a plot to bring Uriah home from battle to go into his home, and he would think that the baby was his. But he didn't go home. He slept in the gate of the king, not wanting to do what his men couldn't do. And so David came up with another idea to make sure he was killed in battle. And every time I read that passage that lists him as one of David's heroes, one of his mighty men, I think of what treachery that was in the heart of King David. After the death of her husband, David married Bathsheba and brought her into the palace. Sometimes when people get that powerful, they think they can do anything they desire without any consequences. David was wrong. God knew everything that he had done. The Bible goes on to tell how the child died and how it affected David. It never speaks of the heartbreak of Bathsheba, but it must have been devastating. God redeemed this situation. This couple was forgiven and restored by God. They were given another child, a son named Solomon. Bathsheba became the mother of the wisest child who ever lived. Just imagine staring at that child sitting in his high chair. God is able to restore relationships. Jochebed, another mother in the Bible, the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. There could not have been a worse time to have a child. It was against the law for this baby Moses to live. The midwives were to kill the children at birth. If they lived, they were to be thrown into the river. Jochebed had her baby and tried to keep him quiet, and it worked for a number of months. When that proved impossible, she made a little basket and floated him in the river. Discovered by the princess, Moses was adopted and brought into the palace. His mother was hired to be his nurse, and he eventually became the one who would deliver the nation of Israel from slavery, bring them out of the land of Egypt and into the promised land. There must have been many struggles with the separation that she felt, losing her son, being restored to him, and losing him again. But she was a good mom. And lastly, Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. Someone said, Mary is a rich tapestry of real motherhood. A lot of excitement, followed by years of work and moments of intense pain. Imagine Mary changing the diaper of the Son of God, fixing his meals, washing his clothes, cleaning his cuts, all of the normal things in a young child's life. Think of those challenging times in her life. The long trip to Bethlehem while pregnant. A birth in a barn. Putting out the APB on a lost child. When they ran out of wine at the wedding feast. And Jesus said, my time has come, woman, what do I have to do with thee? And then she kind of goes around him and says to the servants, listen, anything he asks you to do, go ahead and do it. She probably knew him better than anybody else and knew that he'd intervene in some way. All of these women had to face challenges in their lives. They had strong love for their children. They were willing to do anything for their kids. Sometimes doing the right things for the wrong reasons, or the wrong things, because they thought everyone needed help, even God. My favorite mothers are a team we find in 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Why was Paul the man he was? Because there was a long line of Pauls, and Paul started another line. Disciples who were able to teach others also. Timothy was in that line. Why was Timothy a faithful man who could be able to teach others also? Because he had grown up in a family with a great grandmother and a great mom. In the same way my dad had a great grandmother and a great mom. And he passed that down to me as well, that sincere faith. When someone looks at my dad and then looks at me and says, well, the apple didn't fall far from the tree, I take that as a great compliment. I'm so glad. We need to remember that being a mom is a challenge. It's so challenging that some turn their back from it and run away. But it is also something that can be learned, restored, and even revived, as it was in the example of some from the Bible that we've seen this morning. The relationships are worth all the efforts we can put into them, all the prayer, through all the pain, to the glory of God. And there is a tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. What a blessing it is to have a mom who loves Jesus, who follows Jesus, who walks with Jesus, who can be an example and an encouragement to us. We need more of them today. We need to pray for them. No matter where they are, who they are, what they are doing or what they have done, to pray that God will work in their hearts and their lives and create in them someone who can minister to the needs of their family and especially to the needs of their children. Father, again, we lift our moms up to you. We thank you, Lord, for them. We ask, Lord, your blessing on them. We pray that you would encourage them. We pray, Lord, that you would motivate them. We pray, Lord, that you would revive their ministries in our lives. Father, we just ask your blessing upon them. Whatever they're going through today, we pray, Lord, that you would keep them close to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.